At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hello, everybody. Hello. I'm still trying to work on an intro. I don't really know. Like, I don't want to be like, oh my gosh, hey guys, like, hi. But I also don't want to be like, hey. Like, it needs to be a good, like, hey guys, what's up? Anyways, hi, my name's, wow, that was good. Wait. Okay, did I just figure it out? Awesome. Well, hi, my name's Abby, and if you're the first time listener here, welcome to That's Life Podcast, and if you're coming back for another listen, thank you so much for coming back. I'm so happy that you're here, whether you're new, old, actually young, or actually old, or, you know what, no one's actually old, okay? Everyone who thinks they're old out there, you are not old, you're just a little bit more wise. You're wiser and you're not as young. And that's all I have to say about that. And now we're going to do a little topic change. So my name's Abby Murphy. This is That's Life Pod. This podcast is geared towards the transition periods of life and going through that, maneuvering through that through a Christian lens. And I'm so glad that you have come across this podcast. A little life update. I usually like to start with a little life update, and it is currently almost my bedtime. It is 8:09 Thursday night. I really pushed off doing this podcast, not because I didn't want to. I look forward to doing the podcasts literally every single week. I love doing the podcast so much. They just bring me so much joy. But I just, like, it was the first full week of Zoom classes online for my college that I go to. And I've also been at the beach while I'm doing that. So I just kind of have been outside and not thinking about filming a podcast, because it's like, oh, well, the weather's pretty, so let's enjoy it while I can, which I have been, and I'm glad. But now I'm kicking myself because I am a grandma. I love going to bed early. All of my friends will tell you, like, I try to get in the bed by like 9. Like, I just love getting in bed early and then sitting down and, you know, being on my phone or reading or doing whatever I do in the bed and then falling asleep. And then waking up at 5 in the morning because I'm part of the 5 a.m. club. If you're part of the 5 a.m. club, let's chat. Let's meet up. But yeah. So anyways, I've been at the beach. For those of you that don't know, I left, I guess, a week ago today. Yeah, it was a week ago today because it was a Thursday. And I was sitting in my Zoom call in one of my classes. And I was like, Mom, can we just go to the beach? And she was like, yes. And I was like, great. And now we're here. And let me just give you a quick little recap of this trip. Basically, day one was Friday. And I just kind of like chilled all day. It was just like a reset day. Saturday, we got up and at them. We, you know, went outside, walked around, felt really, really good. Sunday, we went to church at a bar, which was like amazing. And one thing the pastor said, which I really thought was like very beneficial, he said, you have to let go of what's in your hand in order to take God's. And that stuck with me. Like, that hit home so hard. Like, literally, I was like, wow. I mean, it seems so simple to say, but like, when you really think about it, like, think about, whoa, I just like glitched there for a second. Anyways, think about like when you grab someone's hand, like they're usually helping you, whether that's like to pull you along or to help you up or to give you comfort. But you can't hold their hand if you're obviously you have something in your hands. It's the same thing with God. Like, he's constantly reaching out his hands, but we're not going to be able to grab onto that if we're trying to carry all the stuff that we have planned for us with us. So yeah, I thought that was really good. And then that day we also went to the zoo, which was really fun because it was like 75 degrees. It feels so good here. And then Monday through Thursday, yeah, I guess today's Thursday. Monday through Thursday, I did like Zoom calls off and on. And in between Zoom calls, I would like go to the hot tub or go to the pool or go on a walk or just try to get outside and get moving. I will say I was really spoiled because I would like be on a Zoom call and then I would just casually look out at the full ocean, just like look out, which I was very excited to see. But sadly, we are leaving. I think of it as tonight because it's like 3 a.m. we're leaving, but I guess it's technically Friday morning because it's like super early. We'll probably end up leaving around 5, but I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, it's been a great trip. We went to the zoo. The zoo was amazing. I just love the zoo. I witnessed something at the zoo. I witnessed I don't even know how to say this because this is a Christian podcast. All listeners, I mean, God did create this, so like it's not bad, but I witnessed, for just my younger listeners who may not, anyways, if you know, you know, two turtles having a great time together, and I witnessed it, and they were really enjoying being together, and it was weird. Never would I ever think, you know, I just don't think about it. I don't think about it, and I don't think about turtles. Like, I don't know. It was just weird. But anyways, that was an experience. I went shopping a little bit with my mom. We went on all the walks. We went to some restaurants. That was really fun. And yeah, it was just a really good trip, a good reset. And that was me being spontaneous. Oh, and I also did my January spontaneous challenge. If you want to listen to my whole spontaneous spiel, you should go hop on over to #ThatsResolutions where you can hear more about that. But I did my January spontaneous event for the month, and it was get a spray tan. And I got a spray tan, and I wanted to chicken out, and I wanted to not do it, but I did it. And I'm so glad I did it because it honestly didn't even look that bad. I've always wanted to know what it felt like. No, I'm not going to do it again, but it was fun. I can say I did. I can say I know what I get myself into. And if I ever need to, I don't know, go get a spray tan for something, then I'll know what to do. And it was really fun. The lady was really sweet. She gave me just like a natural, very, like you could barely really tell, honestly, like she was being very subtle because she knew I was new and I don't think she wanted to scare me, but there's so much that goes into it. Like you have to mix all these colors and put this scent and like put this you have to put primer on, and then you sit in this little booth and this lady like talks to you and she's like, turn around now, he's spraying in 3, 2, 1. And like I felt like I made a friend. Like I left and I was sad because I had this new friend that painted me. But yeah, it was really cool. It was a good experience, and I'm really, really glad that I was able to be spontaneous on a spontaneous trip. So that's my life update on emotions and spontaneousness. And then health-wise, I'm gonna get a nutritionist, I think. And that kind of leads into a little bit of today's topic. But yeah, I am wanting to get healthier just like bodily wise. There are some medical things that I've been having to focus on, and so I'm gonna get a nutritionist. And one thing I really think is important in the nutritionist is not only like, you know, obviously catering to my needs and helping me in what I need, but also we really want to try to find a Christian nutritionist, not to like single anybody out or be like, oh, well, you can't help if you're not a Christian. Like, no, that's not how it works. But I do believe that like similar beliefs will help you bond in a way that can help you achieve a goal because you both have that same mindset of like our bodies are not the biggest thing. Like whatever we're dealing with on this earth, there's so much greater that we're working towards, not just the benefit of having a good body for ourselves, but a benefit of having a good body so that we're able to use it to serve the Lord. So I think that's going to be something really great. But yeah, I'll keep y'all updated on that. And that kind of ties into today's topic, because today I'm going to share my story slash talk anorexia slash all of the health things. So before we get into that, let's open up in prayer and then we'll get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, night, I guess, it's 8 o'clock at night. And I thank you so much for a great trip. I thank you that I get the pleasure and the honor of being able to talk to whoever's listening. And I thank you so much for reminding me of your presence here. It's pretty hard not to see all of your great creations with all the sunsets, and the beaches, and the water. But Lord, I pray that I'm even more thankful back in my regular routine and I don't lose sight of your amazing creations here on this world and emotionally and in blessings every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's talk. If you know me, I'm very, very open about it. But part of my testimony and basically like a very big chunk of why I really became a Christian. I mean, I guess I always was a Christian, but really looked into slash accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior in my life all started with me going through something hard, and that something hard was anorexia. So for those of you that don't know, actually, I'm going to look up the proper I'm going to look up the proper definition because I'm afraid that I'm going to say it wrong and I don't want to say it wrong. So anorexia, as described on Google, is an eating disorder causing people to obsess about weight and what they eat. It's usually associated with getting super, super skinny, very malnourished, but eating disorders come in all different shapes and sizes, and there are many that I've also dealt with, but today we're specifically going to focus on anorexia. I suffered from 2 years of anorexia, and that was between the grades of 5th and 7th. So it was pretty young. I started, I guess, when I was like 11-ish, and then it ended around age 13, somewhere in between there. But yeah, I was pretty young. It stunted my growth. It made me hit puberty way, way later, which I'm sure I would have hit it earlier if I did not suffer from anorexia at the time. But it all kind of happened around, you know, we all, as children, we all kind of go, and if you are a child listening, don't think this is weird, but we all go through some sort of pudgier, just more awkward stage where, you know, we haven't hit our growth spurt yet, and, you know, this weight kind of just stays on us as we're growing, because we continue to grow throughout our lives, and there's always just this one awkward stage in elementary school slash middle school when you're sometime when you're younger, when just your weight and your height don't really match up. And so mine was around 5th grade. So I was like, well, I want to eat healthier. And it really started out as something that, you know, I felt like I could control the amount of food that I ate. It made me feel confident. It made me feel happy. I felt good because I was like, wow, I'm like, you know, starting to learn what I'm putting into my body. And soon enough, it just got way too out of hand. Like, I can't even tell you, I don't even remember like how it got out of hand, but I have a very specific moment that I realized that I had a problem. And I would say it started around, I guess, like beginning of 5th grade, so around August. And then around fall was when I started looking at like serving sizes and calories. And, you know, I would like measure out my Sour Patch Kids or whatever. Like, you know, I mean, more mindful things, but I wouldn't like cut off any foods. Like, I would order pasta salad instead of like spaghetti, or just make like a healthier choice. But it really got serious around Christmas, and that's when I realized I had a problem. And my parents like knew before. My mom was worried about me way before I even like knew I had a problem. But I specifically remember my uncle, and he made me a smoothie. I wanted a smoothie, and you know, smoothies were a safe food for me at the time. So there's fear foods and there's safe foods, And fear foods are the foods that specifically for you scare you. You don't want to eat them, which is a total disordered way of thinking. Anyone who tells you that's normal, it's not. If you're afraid of a food, if you're afraid of eating a food, that is disordered thinking. I don't care what diet culture says. I don't care what people say. That's disordered thinking, unless it's like a specific allergy where like you'll die. Like obviously if you're afraid of peanuts or if you're allergic to peanuts, like yeah, be afraid of them. Don't, like, that's different. But I'm not allergic to anything, and I was also afraid of having other people make food for me. So I watched him, and I was super, super skinny at the time. And you know, he put in like the fruits and he put in like spinach or whatever, and then my mom kind of like pulled me out of the room, just asked me a question or whatever. And then the next thing you know, the smoothie's ready and I start drinking it. I had a couple sips and I was like, this is good. Like, this is too good to be healthy, you know? And so I asked him what he put in it and he said he put some ice cream in it. And I had a freak out. Like, I would not pick that drink back up. And I remember sitting in my mom's room, I was crying, I was sobbing, like full on. And it wasn't like he loaded it with like ice cream. Like, it was literally a couple scoops, you know? But in my mind, I had associated ice cream as a fear food, as an unhealthy food. Which it's not, but everything in moderation. But in my mind, I just thought like, if I were to have that, I would instantly get fat. And again, I associated being fat as negative as well, which as we've learned in today's time, if you keep up with like culture and diet and even like modeling now is becoming, I would say better, but we're definitely not there in terms of accurate representation of women's bodies. But anyways, that's kind of like besides the point. But anyways, like for me, I didn't want to get above a certain weight. I didn't want to look a certain way. And so it was like quotations, smaller the better, quotations. And so I thought if I ate ice cream, I would just instantly just puff up. And I just sat with my mom and I was like, oh my gosh, like, okay, this is a problem. And so I got put into therapy, didn't want to do that, didn't think I needed it, thought it was stupid, really didn't, want to tell her anything, didn't really talk to her. I started going with my mom, and then I would like start out with my mom, and then I would kind of have some time when I went by myself with her. And I will say I'm so pro therapy, but I was just very stubborn and I didn't want to accept that I had a problem. I didn't want to get better. And so that kind of went on, I guess, for a year, and this was all middle school. So it was around, I guess, seventh grade. It was beginning of seventh grade year, and I was super excited because I was still in my eating disorder. But no one knew, like it was a bunch of new people and no one knew that I had lost all this weight. Like people who I had known from elementary school or like people that I did theater with or parents, like they were noticing, they were like, is she okay? Like she is so skinny. And props to all the parents out there listening, or props to all the people that know of someone who has an eating disorder. And please note, if you know someone with an eating disorder, please do not judge their family or the people that are watching over them, because you have no idea what they're doing behind the scenes. Like my parents, people would come up to me and I was very private. I didn't want anyone to know. My parents wanted to respect that. And so people would like ask them like, hey, like, do you notice like how skinny your daughter's gotten? And, you know, constantly my mom would stick up for me like, oh yeah, like she's having a growth spurt. We're just trying to put some, you know, some meat on her bones. Like, which was true. I mean, I hit a growth spurt right when I was not feeding myself, but she didn't go into saying like, oh yeah, like she has an eating disorder, she has anorexia, you know? And so even if like someone doesn't come right out and say that, just know they could be respecting the person that they're guarding. Now, I think you can kind of read a room, you can kind of read a situation, and also just like the bond that you have with that person can really kind of affect the answer that you get if you're asking someone. But just keep that in the back of your mind as well. That just because you don't see things happening doesn't mean that they aren't. But yeah, so it was around seventh grade year. And you know, I was like, this is a new start. Like, people will know me as the skinny girl. Like, I won't be known as the person who lost a lot of weight. Like, I won't be known as the girl who this, that, and the other. And I knew people were talking about me because I looked sick. I looked sick and I felt sick and I was sad, depressed. But it was the beginning of the year. It was a new start. I could be this new version of myself. Yeah, so started going to school. I had a couple friends. I would say that, like, in my mind, I thought I was being social, but I wasn't. I was excluding myself. I never ate. Like, people at school would say that I had, like, diet food or bird food. You know, and in a friendly way, not as, like a trying to make fun of me way, but just in, like, a, oh my gosh, like, Abby, oh, she's always eating the bird food. Like, she's so healthy, you know? And kids don't know. Like, kids didn't know. This wasn't a very common thing, you know? And I felt... I just remember feeling so alone, not only in the fact of, like, you know, like, me having an eating disorder and feeling like I'm the only person who's ever struggled with this ever. Like, that was a factor, but also I just felt so alone friend-wise. And it was because I was just constantly disassociating myself, constantly thinking about food, constantly thinking about how I would get out of eating this next food, or constantly thinking about, like, oh, if I go hang out with this friend and they're gonna eat this. Like, I remember going home with my friend and her mom made baked potato soup, and you know, we had it and I was like, oh, this is a meal food. I'll have a little bit, because I didn't want to, you know, like, be the weird girl who didn't eat the soup. And they're like, yeah, we're going to have it as a snack. And I was like, that just, like, I was like, what? Like, that, you can't do that, you know? And just having all of these restrictions. And I knew she knew. I knew her mom knew. I knew, like, I knew everyone knew that I wasn't okay. But everyone around me was so kind and sweet and stuck by me, and I would just push them out, and I would blame everything on other people because I was running from the fact that I was my own enemy. And I just was so sad, and I would sit in school and be silent. There were some days I literally would just try out not talking the whole day, just because I was like, well, whatever, like, no one cares anyways. It was just the shell of this person I had become. I was so sad. I was so depressed because I was constantly thinking about food and I was letting it rule my life. My mom had a Bible study at the time and my friends would come over, and you wouldn't have guessed that I was going through such hard things because I was just so bubbly for that 2 hour section, because I had, like, stored up all my energy for that day. And my mom would have snacks home for everybody, and the girls would all eat it, and I would go cut a mango, or I would go, you know, get some fruit. And in my mind, I was just like, oh yeah, well, like, the other girls can do that, but I can't. Like, they can do that and they won't put on weight, but, like, I can't do that. Like, I'm just not that lucky. Like, my body's different, which is so false. I just saw myself so differently. The body, this is called body dysmorphia, but it's where you, like, see something different than what you actually look like. And I really thought I was severely overweight, and I was tiny. I was so skinny, and it was very, very, very unhealthy. And I was very sad. I was very unhealthy mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I just was all over the place and I had no idea. And yeah, and I remember right around the breaking point, this is probably when it got my lowest with me, myself, but it was, I guess it was right after Christmas, my seventh grade year. And I was going to school and, you know, I would always skip breakfast. I never wanted to eat breakfast. And my mom was like, Abby, you have to eat breakfast. I was like, no, I'm not. She picks up a banana and I would not touch it. And she was like, just half, like, just eat half of the banana. And I would not. And I just remember her literally, and I'm about to get very, very deep, but, like, she had to strangle me. Like, she had to pin me to the ground because I was so out of control. I was like slapping her and hitting her. And just to think of who I had become, like my mother was laying on top of me, pinning my arms down from me hitting her and punching her and pushing her off of me because I wouldn't eat half of a banana before going to school. And I was hysterically crying. I mean, like hysterically crying. And my mom was hysterically crying. And like to think that I put my mom through stuff like that, that my mom had to deal with that, like seeing her daughter slowly starve herself to death. And just, I don't know, like the eating disorder is not yourself. Like the eating disorder is not who you are. It's this thing that creates this alternate version of yourself inside your head. Like you are not the problem. The eating disorder is the problem. And I had fully become my problem. Like nothing in the world mattered to me except my size. And it wasn't even a fact of like body image at this point. It was control. Like it started with me having control of what I consumed and put in my body. And slowly that started to control me. And it was like, I've lost control in every aspect of my life. And so, we get in the car and we're driving to school. I still hadn't eaten the banana and she circled the school until I would eat it. And I wouldn't. And finally I gave in cause I was just so exhausted and I'm pretty sure I didn't eat like the rest of the day. It was just so bad. And that was like probably just the lowest moment I can remember, food wise, and I'll dive into the spiritual after, but it was just crazy. So I continued to go to therapy, and my therapist, it was around spring, I guess, and it had gotten to the point where, very early spring, and my therapist was like, if you don't put on X amount of weight, you're gonna have to go to a facility, because you are gonna die, basically. Like, if you continue at the rate you're going, we're going to have to put you in a feeding tube because you're going to die. And that was kind of like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be, this was, which also, if you go to a facility and you need it, I respect you so much. But me at the time was like, I don't want to be known as like, oh yeah, Abby, the girl who went to an eating disorder facility. Like, because I had heard in my small town of other people being like that. And I didn't want my name to be like associated with an eating disorder, let alone a whole place that's like designated to healing you from an eating disorder. Like I felt like I was the only person who had ever struggled with an eating disorder or had ever struggled with literally anything ever, like every middle schooler does. And I didn't want people to see me like fall. I didn't want people to see that I was in a low place. Because it took me so long to realize that I was in such a low place. But, yeah, so I literally stuffed my face for like 2 weeks and gained weight like crazy. And I was eating and eating and eating and eating and still didn't have a very healthy mindset about food, but I was eating because I didn't want to go. And so I gained the weight, and yeah. And then I won't go into too much of the healing process because I want to save that for my testimony, but Jesus really, really worked a miracle in my life, which the person, long story short, I got a concussion and it kind of just healed me. And thank you to the person who gave me that concussion. You know who you are. But yeah, that kind of ended that anorexia part of my life. And I relapsed again when Corona started. It was around my junior year, but it came back in a different form known as orthorexia, which I'll do another separate podcast on that as well, just because these are just such broad topics that I really want to dive into. But yeah, that's kind of my anorexia story, and it got pretty deep and it got pretty bad, but spiritually got even worse. I was so mad at God for so long. I was so mad at him, which me having a literal Christian podcast now, like, I feel so bad about saying, like, after learning so much about God and learning who he is, how he died for me, how I'm an awful person, and yet he, like, he wants me, you know, and he wants me in his kingdom, and he wants to live with me forever. It just baffles my mind that even after I was so awful to him, and even after I was so rude and said such rude things to him, like, he still loves me the same. And during that time, he was searching for me even more and fighting for me even more than I could have ever imagined at the time. And even can ever imagine now. I mean, my brain can't physically imagine how much he loves me. Like, he, it's just, we're not made to think like that. But yeah, so I was just so mad at him. I was like, God, I go to church, like, all the time. I go to church every Sunday. I have since I was little. Like, I'm a Christian. I'm a good person. I'm nice to people. Why are you giving me this? Like, why are you giving me this hard time? Why are you allowing this to take over my life and make me want to end it? Like, don't you want me to live happily? So, like, why are you letting this happen? You know, I was so mad, and I had such a rotten attitude. And in the recovery process, like, I realized that it's not him giving me these things. It's the evil of this world. It's the evil of the evil in this world. But God uses that, which I learned in recovery. But which recovery, by the way, is just a period of time where you recover, basically, from, you know, whatever you're recovering from. But yeah, so I was just angry with him. And I remember specifically sitting in my room one night, like, I was studying biology. It was sixth grade. And I just remember sitting in the guest room, and I was just so overwhelmed and so upset by, I guess just the thought of food and being sad in school and being emotional and just everything just, like, caving in. And I just screamed at God for, I kid you not, maybe like 20, 30 minutes, bawling and screaming and punching the bed and just being so mad at him and yelling. And, like, people were in the house, but I was just in this room just screaming at him. And I felt him there. I felt him on the side of the wall. I still remember it was the right side of the wall by the window, and I was looking at him, and I was just screaming, and I was so mad, and I can still picture it, and I just see him there staring, just standing there. And so then I just stood there for like 5 minutes, and then I collapsed on the bed because I had just completely exhausted myself. And my mom came in the room, and I was like, Mom, I'm, like, exhausted, and I'm tired, and I just can't do anything. Like, I just can't do anything. And she just, like, put her hand on my hand, and she was like, I prayed that you'd feel God. Like, I don't know if you did, but I prayed that you'd feel him there. And I was just kind of like, whoa. And I would like to say that that changed it for me, but it didn't. And I still suffered another year, but I would constantly have little moments like that, where he reminded me of his faithfulness even when I wasn't looking. And he forced reminders that he was there, to me even when I pushed him out and didn't want to talk to him. I would sit in my bed most mornings on weekends, and just, you know, I'd wake up at like 8 and then stay in the bed till 10 or 11, just trying to sleep past breakfast, sleep past whatever mealtime. And it was like 10:30. I was in my mom's bed, and I wake up, and I stay in there for like 2 more hours, and I start praying, and I'm like, I really don't want to be on this earth right now, God. Like, this is such a sad life I'm living. Like, I don't want to be here. And it was a very low time. And it was very sad. And I felt comforted. I was telling him these things to a God who at the time I didn't even know if he was there. I didn't even know if he loved me. I was mad at him. I had so much anger that I just threw towards him because I needed someone to throw it towards. And I had already used up all my options at the house because I was just tearing it apart with this problem that I was going through. And it was the one time I had been angry with someone and told them that I felt that way. Because I didn't really even know that I felt that way until I started praying. And it was the first time that I had felt comforted and felt like a safety in a way that I had never felt before. I don't know. There were just so many specific moments I could point out. But I say this to say, you know, in the most humble way possible, but also in the most proud of myself way, I guess. Like, look where I am now. Look how he's using this. My eating disorder story is one that I've told to so many people and helped them, whether they struggle with eating themselves or struggle with something else that you can relate to. I mean, food is a universal thing. Food is something we all bond over. That's why we eat meals together. That's why it's a good conversation starter. We all can relate to food because we all need it to survive. And so I think the fact, you know, we all have our thing, and my thing is this idea of body image and food. And the fact that God was able to use that struggle that I had, and turn it for better and turn it for good, and he took what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it for good. The fact that he can do that with something that we all bond over, I think, is a great way to minister to people. And I would not trade it for the world if I could go back and redo it. Obviously, I wouldn't wish that upon myself, but I would not have my story any other way. It was the lowest I've ever been in my life. It's the hardest thing I've ever been through. I don't wish it upon anyone, but I also know if you're going through something right now and it feels like you're alone, you're not. And if you are struggling with something and you feel like you just want to end it all, don't. Because it is so much better on the other side. There's so much more out there for you. You can be out here talking to so many people and sharing your story, and it may not feel like you're ever going to get out of that pit, and it may not feel like you're ever going to be able to share it with someone. And who knows, maybe you're not meant to speak, maybe you're not meant to share it on a podcast or on a platform. Maybe it's just one person, maybe it's someone, maybe you write a book about it, maybe you journal, maybe you tell your kids about it, maybe your kids struggle with it too, maybe you pass someone in school and you know, you notice tendencies that you once had and you go talk to them. It doesn't have to be in the way that you're experiencing me sharing my story. But know that if you are in that season right now, or if you're in that pit right now, it gets better. It always gets better. But you have to fix your eyes on Jesus. And that's the one thing that I would change, is staying true to my Father and keeping my eyes fixed on him, because it would make those 2 years of literal horrible. It would make it it would make it better because I had Jesus, but I'm not gonna sit here and say that those 2 years would have been great with Jesus. I mean, I don't know, but that was an extremely, extremely hard part in my life, and I know going through that, like, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh yeah, if I had Jesus, everything would be perfect and I would be happy, and because I'm never sad ever. Now that I know Jesus, I'm sad and I know Jesus, and that's okay. And I'm happy and I know Jesus, and that's okay. And I'm content and I'm stressed and I have all these feelings. But I know if I would have known Jesus the way that I know him now, though, the things that I went through in that season that I would have went through, I could have used and done so much more for him with, and I would have felt purpose, and I wouldn't have gotten as low as I did. And I know that for a fact, just because I know that I would have had something to fix my eyes on that's greater. And it was so easy to just get caught up in myself and get caught up in what I'm going through. And, you know, I didn't have any mentors. I didn't have anyone outside of my family who I felt comfortable enough to tell, because I would push everyone away. But the one person you can't ever push away is God, because he's always there. Now, you can ignore him, but he's always going to be there still. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to allow something to happen to you that you can't handle. And he's never going to have something happen in your life and not use it. And I think that's something that we really need to focus on. And I think also it takes time. I mean, that's 2 years, and then I relapsed for another, two and a half. I think in today's world, we just want the quick fix. We want things now. Social media, like, you know, we want to travel the world, and we want to go out and be great, and we want people to know our name, and that's great. I mean, I want to be known. Everyone wants to be known. But we want it fast, and we don't want to work for it. And I think that's what our society has come to, is like, we just forget that, like, at the end of the day, things take time. Things take so much time. And it's hard, but it's beautiful, because that's when you grow. And I've grown so much as a person from thinking back to that awful, awful time in my life when, you know, you could see it physically, and I know people knew, but people, like, had no idea what really was going on in the surface. I have so many stories. I have so many stories from that sad girl who just thought that that was the only thing out there. And I can tell you that once you get out of that rut, once you fix yourself and fix your eyes and your spirit and face it towards the Lord, it's going to be so much better for you, because it's going to bring about things in your heart and in your spirit that you didn't know you had. And you're going to be able to use that to help yourself, and then eventually to help others. As I recovered, I started growing closer and closer to Jesus, because I realized that this thing I could be able to share with others, this thing that was so awful, he used in order to make me stronger, in order to give me a voice in this evil world, in order for me to help people who way on down the road experience the same things that I have. And I would never, some of my best friendships, I've grown so close to these people because we share that eating disorder, I guess, like, not memory, but we just share that in because we have that in common in our stories. I don't think I even have enough, like, fingers to think of all of the people who have struggled in some way with food, and we've been able to talk about it. And so seeing Jesus use a time when I didn't want to live to now me being able to live for him because of that is beautiful. And that just goes to show the goodness of God. Honestly, that goes to show how great our Father is, that he can take when you feel your lowest and use it to help you feel your highest. And not even for a personal gain, although that's a byproduct of sharing your story and helping others, but, like, really just using it to glorify the Lord. I mean, like, there's no other way I could even share my story without talking about Jesus, because he is the reason I'm here today. He's the reason I'm making this podcast. He's the reason that I feel comfortable with sharing this, and I have that confidence from him. And I'm so grateful for that. But I don't think I would be nearly as close with him if I hadn't had gone through anorexia. And, you know, it's scary and it's sad, but it's a beautiful thing. So whatever you're going through, just know it gets so much better. Run to Jesus. Give up your life for him. I was fortunate enough for him to knock some sense into me. Haha. Concussion. It's just a concussion joke. It's whatever. I'm getting so tired. It's literally almost 9 o'clock. But I was lucky enough that it was almost like it was a miracle story. You know, for me. But that doesn't mean that I haven't had to really put in the elbow grease when building a relationship with God. And you know, your story is going to look different. My story is going to look different. Maybe it's not anorexia that you struggle with. Maybe it's something involving food. Maybe it's not. I think it's safe to say for a majority of people, women and men, that we all struggle with body image in some way. And I think that's the other thing, which, like, people think that, you know, majority of, like, eating issues and body image issues are in the female area. And I would like to say stereotypically, yeah, I would say that's true. But honestly, like, when you really think about it, it's not at all. And I've talked to, like, the majority of my guy friends are men, boys, especially, like, middle school age boys who are going through awkward growth phases where, like, some kids will hit growth spurts earlier and others won't. Like, that is intense to deal with. And especially, like, you know, people judging off of looks first, that's something super hard for men to deal with. People in the gym, like, everyone thinks that if you go to the gym, you're super confident in, like, your body, but honestly, it's the opposite. And, my humble opinion with what I've experienced and the people that I've talked to at the gym, but that's a whole nother avenue. But I think this podcast can reach men and women because, I think men, don't really get as much representation in that area. So, I hope maybe I'll get some guests on here, maybe a little male guest to talk about, an experience in that way as well. But we'll see where this takes us. I know this wasn't as much of a read scripture-y kind of podcast, but I really just wanted to, like, sit and talk and tell you guys my story and kind of get deep, or at least part one of my story. Yeah, I guess I'll do part two next week, if that's what you guys want. I'll put out a little poll. We'll see. Or if I should, like, space it out and do it maybe a little bit later, but I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, but that's my part one of my body image anorexia story. Part two will be more on orthorexia, over-exercising. I'm older, obviously, as going through that. And just recently, coming out of it, as well as slash in recovery currently, slash trying to figure out what the heck my body's doing and how I can make it healthy again. So yeah, anyways, thank you guys for listening. This was a pretty deep podcast. If you want to hear more, like, story time podcasts like this, let me know. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And if you're ever struggling, if you are ever struggling in eating, in feeling like you're not meant to stay here on this earth, if, you know, alcohol, drugs, this, that, the other, I mean, you name it, if you ever feel like that, do not hesitate. I will say it again, do not hesitate to reach out to me, to reach out to someone you know, reach out to someone you love, reach out to someone you trust. We want you here on this earth. You are meant to be here on this earth. God has placed you here on this earth for a reason. And you are beautiful. And you are loved. You are loved by so many people on this earth, even if you don't feel like it, even if you're told you're not, you are. And you know 100% that the Father who created you, specifically how you were supposed to be created and placed you at the exact time and place that you're supposed to be placed here on this earth, has you here for a reason, and he loves you, and he thinks you're beautiful, and he thinks you're handsome, and he thinks that you're special because you are, and he has created you originally, unlike anybody else, for a specific reason, designed to be here at a specific time and place and have a specific path just made for you. So never feel unworthy, never feel less than, because we have a righteous God who created us and has put something inside of us to fill on this earth. And if we are not dead by the way that he has planned, then he is not done working in us. So I pray that you remember that. I pray that you're loved. Sorry, this was a little bit longer of a podcast, but I love you so much, and Jesus loves you, and that is life.